Thank you, Councilman. Any other members of the council that haven't had a chance to speak yet, would you like to speak on this amendment? Okay, we're gonna go with Councilman Ricks, and then Councilman Lattiser gets the last word on his amendment. Councilman Ricks.
I'll try to make this brief. And forgive me for using a metaphor, because frankly, I'm willing to get voted off the island. So I'm not sure if everybody here used to watch Survivor. There was a character, well, contestant, Rupert, and he had made a suggestion to the other folks on the show. Hey, we've got these green bananas. We're hungry, but we keep eating the green bananas before they turn yellow. Well, lo and behold, people didn't like his suggestion. They wanted to eat now. The way that we're going with not funding OPEB, just paying for it out of the operating budget every year, we're going to be in a position where we're getting very hungry for money. We're not going to have that money, and we are going to be starving and eating those green bananas before they're turning yellow. And it's going to be painful to the taxpayers, because what's going to happen is we're going to see very high tax increases unless we get serious about funding this. And then what position are we going to be left in? In the future, we're not going to have a choice. Now, we can make a statement and we can shape our own future so that we're not in that position. And it's not just about doing things right by the city and the taxpayers, which is the number one, is making sure that we're not inflicting that pain in the future, but also making sure that we're honoring these commitments, setting ourselves up for the right track. And I know that that's not popular to have to make hard decisions now that can be put off for later, but I feel it's the right thing to do. And so that's why I support this idea. I will say that in terms of the funding mechanism, as Councilman Gephardt suggested, yes, this is a matter of shifting around money, but ultimately, it's about making our priorities clear that we have to be thinking about the future here. I say that funding the OPEB at $1 million is making that statement. And by putting our foot forward and making that sort of commitment here as a city council, we are starting that conversation. We are putting out the olive branch, and then major changes can happen. Ultimately, how money is actually spent in the budget, the mayor does not need to come back to us to change priorities from one line item to another. Budgetary transfers of line items can be done by the administration at their will. So by setting the OPEB trust fund at $1 million, we here tonight are not even guaranteeing that that will necessarily happen. We are expressing an opinion that this is what should happen. And ultimately, these OPEB accounts are not going to, from my understanding, be opened until those new firefighters are hired, which will be well into the fiscal year. So there is time for the administration, plenty of time for the administration to figure this out. And so what this would do is it would be expressing the council's will. Whether the administration ultimately does that is up to the administration. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, President. So I look at it obviously differently than some other folks. I do not look at it as purposely underfunding this particular overtime item. I look at it as responsibly funding it. And over the years, I believe I have had three, maybe four fire chiefs come before the council with the promises of give us the firefighters and we'll hold the line on the overtime. Give us the firefighters, we'll reduce the overtime. I can remember one particular meeting when the fire chief was before us. that at the time Councilman Solomon was on the city council, he directly asked the chief at the time, if we provide you with the staff and the floaters, can you guarantee you will come in on an overtime budget? And the answer was, absolutely. Well, it didn't. It didn't come in on budget. As a matter of fact, it came in excess of $500,000 over budget. And perhaps it might have even been higher. I don't remember the number specifically. So you can continue to fund overtime. And until overtime is controlled, until it is responsibly computed and handled, you're going to have overtime runs. And I'm fairly comfortable in saying next year, we're going to sit here and we're going to discuss this same item. And let's see where the numbers are. I have not seen in the 9 budgets that I've been here, I have not seen the fire department come in on budget. I don't see these overtime problems with the police department. So until such time as management gets control on the overtime, I don't see it reducing. Doesn't matter how many staff people you put in that position. That's all I have, Mr. President.
Thank you very much, Councilman. So the clerk will call the roll on favorable action on Councilman Lattiser's amendment.
Mr. McAllister?
No.
Mr. Foley?
No.
Mr. Gebhardt?
No.
Mr. Howe?
No.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
No.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Sinapi?
No.
Ms. Travis?
No.
2 yes, 7 no. Amendment fails.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Councilman Lattiser, you have the floor. So if you want to make any more.
Those are the amendments that I had.
Okay. Any other council people would like to make amendments on the city budget this evening? Any other council people looking to make any other amendments that haven't had a chance to speak yet? Okay, Councilman Ricks.
Oh, if no one else is going to make a motion on the school committee's request, the school department's request, that is, for the $500,000 for the programs that they had discussed in their presentation. And keeping in mind that I, of course, understand that.
Let's just move it first. You're making a motion. Go ahead, Councilman, make the motion.
So I would move to add $500,000 to the school department budget.
Okay, do we have a second to Councilman Ricks's motion? Second by Councilman Lattiser.
I'll second for discussion, Mr. President.
Okay, second for discussion. Go ahead, Councilman Ricks.
Thank you. And so for this particular amendment, because I can understand how some of our colleagues may differ on exactly how we may be able to fund this $500,000, this amendment itself is not going to include exactly the method of funding it, but rather that would be something that we may discuss and have as a separate amendment. I feel that the school department's request for the $500,000 above being level funded is very reasonable. I feel that the presentation that they gave, where they outlined how these funds would be spent, I think that those career training programs are very effective and excellent use of money. And for that matter, I think that these programs, if they do not succeed in effectively paying for themselves by keeping students in our district and otherwise drawing students to our district, for that matter, as we had seen in the school department's presentation, approximately $6 million is leaving our district every year due to pathways programs, charter schools, and the like, where students feel that they are not being offered the types of programs that they want to see. So I think that the addition of these programs is going to be effective in keeping these students in our district, keeping that approximately $22,000 per student here in Warwick Schools, instead of seeing that money head out the door, attract new students to Warwick. Now, even if it doesn't pay for itself, it will certainly make a dent in that $500,000. It will also serve as something of a pilot to see whether money put back in this way, if it is going to be an effective return on investment. But more than that, schools aren't just about a return on investment. It's about the next generation. And so even if this $500,000 doesn't pay for itself, which it may, I would say that for the purpose of providing these excellent programs to our students, the children of families here in Warwick, I say it's well worth it. And for those reasons, I move to increase the school department budget by $500,000.
Thank you, Councilman. Councilman Foley.
Most of you know my background, 40 years in the classroom, 30 years at Davies Career Tech. Numerous times I was down at the State House fighting for career tech education. I know the value of it. I am not in favor of the additional money at this time. If at mid-year in January they need a supplemental budget, I would be more than happy to step up to the plate. I just wonder why there's a need at this time for that money when everything I'm reading in the paper, reading Councilman Snappy's synopsis of the school meetings, school board meetings, we're laying off 30 to 40 teachers. There has to be a budgetary saving there, but yet we're level funding. So I think what the school board and the school committee needs to do is reallocate funds within their own budget, and last minute coming to the city, to the mayor's office, and to the school board to ask for those funds, I just isn't prudent in my mind, and I will not be supporting the amendment.
Thank you, Councilman. Councilman Snappy.
One of my biggest problems with this is that it would increase the maintenance of effort at a time when even the school committee has been forced, at least some of them, if not all of them, has been forced to acknowledge that it's actually possible right now to decrease the maintenance of effort for them, given the current situation. I believe their attorney might have confirmed it during a meeting as well. And the more recent report that was done up by the auditors, where it was similar conclusions. I mean, and that's not to, it sounds like it's the school committee is getting bashed there, but in all reality, they inherited a decades long problem. And the good news is they're fixing it. A lot of the expenditures this time around will be continuing to fix the mistakes of the past, and not just fix things, but make new things. So I think they are making plenty of headway. I think they're doing a great job. I think they're going to continue to do so. And I think Councilman Foley makes a good point as far as a supplemental budget option, because if those that recall, we actually had that. We had a supplemental bill docketed since last budget for them when this exact sort of issue came up. We said, look, you know what, if you do need more, we'll have it. And guess what? They ended up not coming to us to have us use that. For whatever reason, I mean, it's their prerogative. But my point is, having that there for them doesn't hurt, and at least it gives the option. But after going through everything and reviewing all their finances, I don't think this is prudent at this time. And their outgoing superintendent at least agreed in that regard.
Uh, Thank you, Councilman. Councilman Gephardt.
I would echo what Councilman Sinapi said in that, you know, I think the school administration, including the new administration, the school committee, everyone's working together to make the schools better, to improve where we are right now. The school department has already, without the addition of additional with these new programs, has an ambitious slate in front of them of priorities for the year, which they lay out in their budget document. And further, there is all this addition of after school and sort of catch up efforts based on what was missed this past year. And so I think when the school department, if they look at what they have for a task in front of them for this current coming year, they have an ambitious and a very challenging job to do to get our students who missed, you know, at least one day a week since we've been back from the classroom. In addition to, you know, multiple weeks and months where they were not in the classroom at all. And that should be the focus for this year. And as I expressed when we met with them, this was taken slightly out of context, but my urging to them was that they should spend the summer and the rest of the spring trying to recruit back 25 students, which will immediately put $500,000 into their coffers, which they can use as they see fit. So for that reason, I would say the school department should continue with what they have. They should make efforts to bring students back into the classroom with the initiatives they already have planned. And we can revisit once there's a more sort of fleshed out plan for how we roll out these new programs, how they will be implemented, and how we will recruit and attract students to them. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Councilman Lattiser.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. I also will not be able to support this. I feel strongly that if the administration wanted this in their budget or felt the need to have it in their budget, they would have put it in their budget. And to have the school committee on a vote of 3-2 in the 11th hour throw in another $500,000 for what was said to us at the first budget hearing meeting to develop new programs, and then not to hear any testimony about new programs, but about existing programs. And I also had asked, and I'm going to read it to you, I had asked to be able to ask the two members of the school committee why they voted no, and I wasn't allowed to do that. The following morning, I did receive an email from Mr. Tester, and he has given me permission to read the reasoning or one of the reasons why he voted no. And I quote, "In my view, the way the budgeting process works is that if the administration wanted those things in the budget, then they should have built them in the budget in the first place." And he also goes on to identify that it was stated on the record that the $500,000 would be used to develop new programs. And that's not what we heard. So I will not be able to support this. I feel that the 6% that remains for operating the day-to-day functions, programs, and activities of the school department is a very significant challenge, but that isn't anything that we here on the city council are gonna be able to fix. So I will not be able to support any additional funds to the school department other than what the mayor has already added in to his budget to support them. And I would again point out, as I did the other night, by their own admission, they're down 400 students at $22,000 per student for a slamming total of $8.8 million. That's a huge, huge number. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Councilman. Any other council members would like to speak about this? If not, we will give Councilman Ricks the last word on his amendment. Councilman Ricks.
Thank you. Based on the feedback from my colleagues, perhaps I had a different takeaway from the presentation by the school department the other evening and by some of the comments at that time. However, it appears that some of my colleagues have received some additional information that I may not have gotten the memo, so to speak, between the presentation and this particular evening, which is fine, and that's why there's nine of us. So based on the additional information presented, I will withdraw my motion.
Okay, Councilman Lattiser, as you second that, would you withdraw your second?
Yes, sir, I'll withdraw the second.
Okay, Councilman Ricks, you still have the floor.
Thank you. Let's see, I had, as I had mentioned the other evening, approximately 9 days ago now, I sent an email with some questions to the finance director. Unfortunately, I did not receive a written response, but as mentioned a couple of days ago, I do have some questions relative to the budget. And so I understand from our council solicitor that this is the time to make amendments. And therefore, in order to discuss these questions, I would move to decrease the city's projected tax collection rate from its current 99.0% to 98.5%. This is for the purpose of discussing the city's projected revenue.
Okay, Councilman, can you just give us that those numbers one more time? Decrease the tax rate from a collection rate?
From the current projected 99.0% to the amendment would be to substitute that with a projection of 98.5%.
Okay, do we have a second to Councilman Ricks's amendment? Do we have a second from Councilman Ricks's amendment?
Yeah, I'll second that.
Second by Councilman Gephardt. Councilman Ricks.
Thank you. So my questions, and this would be directed to the finance director, would be, and again, these questions were presented earlier in writing. My first question would be, what has the tax collection rate been for fiscal years 2019, 2020, and how's it looking for the current fiscal year 2021?
Well, first of all, I apologize. You just resent the email. I did not see it on May 18th. But you seem to have that date as the date you sent it, but let me do the best I can to respond verbally.
Thank you. And my apologies if there was any miscommunication there. I understand that it is budget season, and I appreciate you taking a look at this.
But I would say that in the current year, we've been surprised that we're definitely going to make our estimate the 99% collection rate. And part of the reason that the collector and assessor tell me that this is happening is because there's been so much refinancing going on, and people can't refinance unless they're current on their taxes. So that they believe that's the reason that we're ahead. We are in the tax sale process right now, so that we've executed it, the whole tax sale process. So in the current year, collections have been, will meet that 99% threshold. I've just seen your message, and I'm happy to respond to you tomorrow on going back further in history. I'm just not prepared with the all the information in front of me to give you the answer to the just to some earlier years.
Well, thank you. My next question would be that with the tax sales that are in progress, so this is item two on that email, how much money is, well, you know, perhaps that's not something that you would have right in front of you, but kind of skipping ahead on that. When it comes to the tax sales, that are currently up, would that money be anticipated to come in for fiscal year 2021 or be realized for fiscal year 2022?
That's next week.
Fiscal year 21, and I can't remember the date right now.
It's June 2nd or 4th.
Yeah, it's early June sometime. So yes, fiscal year 21.
And let's see. Okay. And then going ahead to the third of the four questions. This is in relation to, and this was alluded to in the mayor's general statement at the beginning of the budget, that we have a loss on the tangible property revenue, such as, in large part, the Hertz fleet selling of 500 cars. I'm not sure if we have any information on whether it appears that we're going to see Hertz or other large parts of that commercial tax base rebuilding so that we recover more of that type of revenue in 2022 as opposed to 21?
This would all be fiscal year 22. Both the motor vehicle estimate, and our budget is based upon $920,000 in American Rescue revenues, and it's all related to the loss of vehicle count. And it's not only rental fleets. We believe that the other part of the problem is that the DMV really shut down for a while after the pandemic began, and people were not required to re-register their cars. And if you don't re-register your car, it doesn't go on our tax roll because it's not on the data that the assessor receives for purposes of levying a tax. So we see a reduction in fleet. We see vehicles that were not registered because of the pandemic. And that's our basis of the 920,000 loss, even though the value of motor vehicles is up substantially. The native values are up substantially in terms of used cars, but we know that our count is down. And secondly, the tangible property tax, this is the tax assessor's, the $500,000 figure, his best estimate as to businesses that have closed and didn't file a record of tangible property.
And then my fourth question on that would be that I do see that the drop in the rate, I assume that that's set by the General Assembly from the drop of $34.60 per thousand to $30 per thousand. And let's see, I suppose my questions in relation to that are we basically out that money of that $4.60 as, you know, I believe that that's what I had kind of seen referenced in the budget, or alternatively, does it appear that the General Assembly is going to make up for that through some sort of revenue sharing or other program?
If you look at page 59 of the budget, there's a state reimbursement code 100-03319, state reimbursement with motor vehicle tax pays out. We're estimating 13,018,239. And that's a reimbursement both for a number of factors, the biggest one this year being the reduction in the rate as required by state law from $34.60 down to $30, but also they're reducing the percentage of assessed value that they apply for purposes of setting the value. And third component is the exemption per vehicle has increased, I think, from $4,000 to $5,000. So the first $5,000, if you have a $15,000 car, the first $5,000 will not be taxed. It will only be taxed on $10,000. So they're reimbursing us for those three different factors.
Okay, this makes sense because that's the sort of thing that when I flip to the very last page, page 64, that's something that that reimbursement would not be reflected on page 64. That would be separate. So I appreciate that explanation on basically where that revenue that's apparently being lost, as I was seeing on page 64, is being made up for by the state in that regard. So it's not as not the same hit as it would be if I was just looking at page 64 in isolation.
Absolutely. And again, I apologize. I try to be responsive. I'll have to look at my spam folder when I get in because I did not see that communication. I only saw the communication just now.
I understand. It's, you know, it is the budget season after all. So I appreciate you answering the questions at this time.
Thank you. Councilman Lattice, sir.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. Peter, don't feel bad. I can assure you I've ended up in the spam files more than once. Don't worry about that. But being that we're having conversation regarding revenue, I do have a couple of questions for Peter on that same topic.
So, is this on the amendment? It'll affect the amendment?
Yeah, it very well could. So I'm asking about what the change is been regarding state aid for last year versus what it is this year. That's for Peter.
Well, if you look at page 59, the first part of the budget, the first block at the top of that page deals with state aid. Now, it's a complicated comparison this year because what the state did in fiscal year 21 was that it replaced a number of components of state aid with CARES Act funding. And so, for example, it looks like if you look at 100-03319, it looks like we're going from 2.6 million up to 13 million in state motor vehicle aid reimbursements. But what in fact the state did, and if you look in the second block, what the state did is it replaced, to deal with their financial problems, they used CARES Act money to replace the state aid. So you'll see a figure 100-3316 of 8,474,740 in the current year. And that's federal aid that was used to replace state aid. So there is definitely an increase in state aid in our resources from the state or by federal resources that the state used to replace state aid.
So the swing, Peter, just looking at these numbers quickly, the swing would be a positive to us of about 7 million. Is that correct? We're down 14 million in the state aid. And we're up 14 right. million opposed in state aid. We're down roughly 7 million in federal. So the swing for us is about a positive 7 million.
That's correct. You need to add at least the 5,077, excuse me, at least the 8,474 to the 45,345 to get to the base, which was, which gets you to just under 54 million. And we're increasing to 59,755. Did I do that right, Lynn?
Yes. Yep.
Okay. Okay, I think that's it on this item for now, Mr. President. As I had asked earlier, I would like to reserve the right to ask a couple of more questions before we actually vote on the budget. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else like to speak on Councilman Ricks's amendment? Okay, Councilman Ricks, you have the final word.
Thank you. Well, this is going to seem familiar. Based on the information that we heard from the finance director, and again, I primarily used this as a vehicle to be able to discuss with the finance director in this open meeting the revenue questions. Based on the information that the director has provided, he is confident in the 99% collection rate. Based on the data that he has presented, I see no reason, no particular reason to doubt his assessment that a 99% tax collection rate may well happen in fiscal year 22 to the best of our predictive abilities. Therefore, I will withdraw the motion.
A motion is withdrawn. I believe that was Councilman Gephardt who seconded it. Would you like to withdraw your second?
Yes, please. Thank you.
Okay. So the motion is withdrawn. Any other amendments to the budget this evening from members of the council? Any other amendments to be offered to the budget this evening? Okay, hearing none, the first step here is, so there has been no change to the bottom line of the budget. So we PCR 7521 has been moved favorable, but however it was amended. So we will need to vote now. We're going to vote now for favorable action on PCR 75-21 as amended. We have moved, it has been seconded. So the clerk will call the roll for favorable action as amended.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley? Yes. Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
A quick point of order. Are we going to have closing statements?
Yes, we're still going to have to vote. If it gets passed as amended, we still have to move it one more time.
Sorry, thank you. My vote is yes.
Mr. Sinappi?
Yes.
Ms. Travis? Not yes to amend.
Okay, the amendment has passed. So at this time before us, well, first I'm going to ask if we move, do we have a motion to move favorable as amended?
Move favorable as amended.
Second by Councilwoman Travis, Councilman Foley. Okay, so now it has been moved. I have a few comments on the budget as a whole, and then I will ask my colleagues as well. So I'm very pleased with the budget that is put before us. Right off the start, when I met with the mayor, We had a similar goal of a no tax increase budget. This has been a very tough year for our residents of Warwick. Unlike any other time, everybody knows what we're talking about. So I just want to highlight a few things that this council and the mayor's office has worked together on that is included in this budget. Big time investments in equipment and vehicles through the lease purchases that this council has worked with the mayor's office to get done. I know members of this council have been working on this for years. We are going to now see scheduled in the budget new vehicles for the fire department, for the police department, for the library, for DPW. These will provide direct services to our residents. Also, as part of this budget that this council has worked on together to get included in this budget is investments in our infrastructure. We are using American Rescue Act funds to make huge, much needed upgrades to our sewer and water infrastructure. And I thank the mayor for including that in the budget. And I thank my colleagues on the councils for advocating for that and supporting this. Again, this is a direct service to the residents of Warwick. This council worked on a program called the Roadworks Program, where we took advantage of historically low interest rates and through the infrastructure bank to do some bonding for our paving programs. Just a few years ago, the asphalt budget line item was $4 million. But because of this new program taking advantage of the infrastructure bank and these low interest rates, we were able to reduce that line item to $200,000 in this budget, but we're seeing more and more roads being paved. Again, a direct benefit to our residents. I spoke with the mayor again this morning about this, how not only are we paving roads, but doing infrastructure upgrades. We are going to coordinate with National Grid with the upgrades. So we're going to pave them once and pave them great, and we're going to coordinate. And when we're combining with National Grid, we're going to be able to pay for pennies on the dollar, and more roads are going to be paved because of the work that this council and this administration have done together as part of this budget. So these are just some of the critical long-term investments that are included in this budget. Again, the credit goes to the administration, the credit goes to the members of this council for working together, not just these past two nights, not just in the past, but for a number of years, and especially this past year, working together. And I do have to give a thank you to our congressional delegation as well for voting and bringing in the much needed rescue funds, which allows a lot of this. I believe that one of the reasons they voted for this is for cities and towns like Warwick to be able to give a break to their residents with a no tax increase budget. So I want to, again, thank the council for their hard work this past year and working with this administration, working with his departments. We have a lot of really good long-term investments in this budget that are reflected in this budget. And these are direct services to our residents of Warwick. And that's why I'll be supporting this evening. So at this time, are there any comments members of the council would like to make on the budget as a whole? And I will have Solicitor Conley will just go over exactly what we can do at this part of the meeting, please.
So, Mr. President, so you have before you now the motion for the budget as a whole. So each member of the council can have an opportunity to express their position in support of their vote and their position on any particular aspects of the budget, and then it will go to a roll call vote.
Thank you, Mr. Conley. Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Mr. President. So let me begin by saying I concur with the comments from the council president. I think he spoke well to the issues of what's been happening. I'd like to expand on it a little bit more. Keep in mind that these happenings that the council president, I thought very well described, have happened in over a very, very brief 5 months. The miles of movement that we have seen within the city have been not only refreshing, but I find very exciting. The cooperation between the administration, the staff, the motivation, the excitement that I see in all of the staff and the city workers that we come in contact with, the positive energies that have been created in a very short period of time, 5 months, the enthusiasm, the motivation in a very brief period of time, the energies that I see from all of our members, I should say staff, our employees in the city, is so upbeat. We are really in a much different place than some time ago. And this all has occurred in a very brief period of time. I don't agree with everything in this budget. There are some things, as you heard earlier, that I do not support, but I realize throughout my career that you can't always get everything you want. And I try to apply what I call the 85% rule to how I make my decisions and how I rate success. And I rate success of myself with that 85% rule. If I can get 85% of what I want done, I'm happy. If I can get 85% of what I don't want stopped, I'm happy. And the in-between that, that's part of doing business. It's all part of doing business. We're not going to have everything. But in the grand scheme of things, and as it's related to this budget, as it's related to where we are today as a city, and where our direction is heading, I think that we are heading, I believe we are heading in a very positive direction, and we're heading there strongly. And there's much even better things coming in the horizon. Wait till we move into the Sawtooth Building. I think the energies that we are going to experience from the staff that works for this city every single day, I think is going to be incredible. The increased productivity that we are going to gain by a homogeneous relationship within the same building, everybody working in the same building, almost. The mayor still holds the corner office, and I don't blame him. I wouldn't give that up either. It is really exciting. I do feel that we do have we have our share of challenges ahead of us. And I think as a member of this city council, I certainly intend to continue conducting business exactly as I've been doing it over the last going on 9 years. I think as the legislative branch of government, as well as the administration, I think that we all need to really keep our thumb on the pulse, and especially important is we need to make those difficult decisions and have those very difficult discussions, not because they're fun, but because they need to be had. I look forward to working with all of my colleagues over the remainder of this fiscal year into the next fiscal year. I look forward to our discussions. I do look forward to our disagreements, and we know we will have those. But in the spirit of things, that's what we're about. We're supposed to have disagreements. We're supposed to get angry. We're supposed to bang our fists on the table occasionally. But at the end of the day, it's all about what's right and what's in the best interest, in my opinion, for the people, and I'm sure you all feel the same, for the people that we represent. And I, for one, will continue to apply the 85% rule. We get it right 85% of the time. I think that's golden. Every now and again, we're going to make a mistake. We're going to make a hiccup. But I'm in full confidence that working together, the administration, the executive branch, and the city council, that we are going to keep our thumb on the pulse and we are going to continue to move this city of Warwick forward. People will want to stay. And even more importantly, people will want to come back. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you very much, Councilman Lattiser. Councilman Ricks.
Thank you. You know, it's a little bit ironic. I completely agree with the council president and with Councilman Lattiser. I completely echo what they are saying, that we have this city council that's working together with the administration, that so many great things are happening in Warwick now. We have the ability, according to the finance director and the administration, to have a 0% tax increase, which is a wonderful thing for our residents, Warwick businesses. Most importantly, for all those folks who are struggling to pay their taxes, struggling to put food on the table, that whether they're seniors or otherwise on fixed incomes, whether they are people who are struggling during this pandemic with employment. There are a lot of things to love in this budget. The reinvestments in our city to make sure that we are providing the services that we need to be providing to residents. And unfortunately, a big priority here for me is making sure that we are on the right track in the long term. We are not here tonight going to solve our long-term problems. That's not something that's simply solved with one vote at the budget. That's something that's going to have to be tackled day in, day out, in phone calls, in emails, in meetings, and of course, future council meetings, where it's all going to culminate in real change, where we tackle these long-term financial issues so that, as I had referenced earlier, if folks remember that show Survivor, I think it's still on, but that phrase that for whatever reason, it sticks out to me, where one of the recurring contestants from that show, Rupert, would make his statement about, let's not eat these green bananas. You don't want to eat the green banana. It doesn't taste as good as the yellow banana. We want to wait for that yellow banana. We want to wait for it to ripen. And you know what? If we're eating too many green bananas now, well, we're not going to have anything in the future. This isn't a problem that's going to come to us in fiscal year 22 or 23, but when this shows up, if it's 10 years, 15 years, or 20 years from now, I know that I'm going to be in Warwick. Warwick is where I want to not only live and work, it's where I'm going to be raising a family. I'm here for the long haul. And I don't want to be looking back 10 years, 20 years from now and saying, what was I doing back then? I wasn't raising my voice on these concerns, making sure that the city is getting on the right track to tackle these problems. Here, one member of the city council cannot dictate what a majority does. That's one of the great things about this city council. Each of the nine of us, we have our voice. And at this budget hearing, even though there are so many great things that this budget does, my biggest concern right now in this moment is making sure that we are on the right track in the long term. And I don't think that $250,000 into that OPEB trust is sending that message that we are making that commitment to fund our long-term, not just long-term obligations, if we want to put it that way, but honoring our commitments to these contracts that the city has entered into, making that statement loud and clear that, yes, we are going to make sacrifices to make sure that we are honoring our contracts, our commitments to our employees. Now, absolutely, we are going to do that. Let there be no doubt that this council is going to do that. I just want to raise my voice to make that message loud and clear, because I heard criticism, and understandably so, I understand where it's coming from, that I voted against the contract for the firefighters. And my reason, my primary reason for my vote was that I was concerned that not enough was being done to make sure that the city is entering into contracts that it can sustainably fund, making sure that we can fulfill the promises that we are making. And so my vote that evening was a statement that we need to make certain that the city is only entering into contracts where we are making sure that we can honor the promises that we are making. And similarly, my vote tonight, the reason I am going to vote no is because I want to make sure that I am similarly making a strong statement that our budget, our priorities, and these are all items that we can work on throughout the course of the year. A budget is not just a vote one evening. It's, as some of my colleagues have said, it's matters that come up at every single council meeting. And so for those reasons, and also for one other reason, is that as many of my colleagues have stated, it is important to make sure that our residents, our constituents, the homeowners and taxpayers, and for that matter, the renters, who these taxes ultimately affect as well, just as much as the homeowners, it affects the people who are renting, that we do what we can to make things easier during these incredibly difficult times. And on that, I will say that I believe that even more than a 0% tax increase, I believe that the very best solution to it, to helping folks in these difficult times, is targeted tax relief, such as that which I hope that we can discuss in more detail in the upcoming Tax Relief Commission meetings. That's something where, of course, we will be working with the administration to accomplish those sorts of goals to the best of our abilities. So, for those reasons, specifically because I want to make sure to emphasize that we will be getting on that track to make sure that our long-term obligations, our promises to our employees, that those promises are kept. That's the reason why the budget, as it is laid out, I feel that a $1 million contribution to OPEB would make a strong statement in that regard. And I hope that my no vote on this budget will make a similar statement as well as to my commitment to making sure that we will work together. And I'm certainly looking forward to working together with all of my colleagues and the administration to make sure that we are getting on that right track and keeping all of our promises under the contracts. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Ricks. Councilman Foley.
Thank you. I don't usually speak long, and I won't do that tonight either. But first of all, as the two new members on the council, I want to thank the mayor and tell him the appreciation I have. When I call, the phone gets answered or the message or gets returned quickly, as it does with the council president. And I've enjoyed the last 30 days that we're opening up our society more, because I've seen all of my council member colleagues, and we're able to talk one-on-one and get to know each other and feel each other out. That's important as we go forward. The mayor is new as I am, and I'm going to be voting for this budget. I want to give the mayor the budget he asked for so that he can start off on the right foot and with his vision. He got elected by the entire city of Warwick. We got voted in by our particular wards. And when I walked the ward, people asked me, because they knew I served 20 years ago, why would you want to do this again? I see you laughing, Donna. Why would you ever do this again? And I do it again. Most of you know, I taught history. Heritage is important to me. And I did research on my family crest, the Foley name. And believe it or not, the motto for the Foley name is that I may be of service. And that is why I entered the fray again. And I'll tell you right now, the first 5 months have been much nicer, better than they were 20 years ago. The sense of camaraderie among all nine of us in the mayor's office is light and day different than what it was 20 years ago. I see better days ahead for the city of Warwick. I'm glad to be part of that. I'm glad we're starting it off with a zero tax increase, because every one of us heard it when we were campaigning in the last year. We needed something. We were getting hit right, left, and center. Well, I hope this is a great first step. One last thing, Councilman Ricks and Councilman Lattiser both mentioned, one was a movie, and Councilman Lattiser mentioned how the 85% rule. And I remember a line from Bull Durham, one of my favorite baseball movies. And Kevin Costner's talking, and he's reminiscing, and he's a minor leaguer, career minor leaguer. And what he says is this: in the course of a baseball season, you get about 500 at-bats. You get 25 singles over the course of that year, 25 more hits. You go from a 250 hitter to a Hall of Famer. I hope in this budget, we've gotten more than 25 more hits. I think this budget is a good first step of moving this city forward. And I think you're going to see great things for the city of Warwick. I am more than happy to vote in favor of this budget. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Foley. Councilman McElroy.
Thank you, Mr. President. I want to echo your comments on the preparation of this budget. I also want to personally thank Mayor Picozzi and his entire administration, and especially you, Council President McAllister, for your tireless work on behalf of the residents of the city. The mayor and the council president work tirelessly and very collaboratively, and I think it is nothing but good work will come of it for the city. I will wholeheartedly support this budget.
Thank you, Councilman. Councilman Gephardt.
I'll also be exceedingly brief, but being this my first budget, my first term, my first 5 months working with all of you, I appreciate the help and support. I appreciate the way we are all working together, especially with the administration and all the various departments. Like was said before, I think by Councilman Foley, you know, the mayor came in with a lot of new ideas, wanting to make a lot of change. And I think that is incorporated into this budget. You know, the analogy about hitting singles is spot on, because And the city's got a long history and it's got a long future. And so we do things piece by piece. We're working in the right direction. And I'm looking forward to working with everyone to do that. So thank you. And I'll be supporting this budget.
Thank you, Councilman Gephardt. Any other council people would you like to speak on this? Hearing none, the clerk will call the roll for favorable action on PCR 7521.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
No.
Mr. Sinapi?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
8 yes, 1 no. Motion passes.
Thank you very much, Madam Clerk. The motion passes. Congratulations to the City of Warwick and the administration and the council. But don't go anywhere. We still have one more item this evening. Number two on our agenda is PCR 76-21, a resolution adopting and setting the tax rate of the City of Warwick for the fiscal year beginning July 1st, 2021 and ending June 30th, 2022. For action, Councilman Howe.
Move favorable action on PCR 76-21.
Seconded by Councilwoman Travis, Councilman Foley, Councilman Lattiser, Councilman McElroy, Councilman Gephardt. Mr. Schaefer, would you just like to give us the tax rate here as a result of the budget?
Sorry.
Give us 1 second, please, Mr. President.
Absolutely.
Did you have the transfers?
Yeah, I
give them to them. Hmm? You wanted both all classified tax rates?
Mr. President, perhaps we should take a 5 minute recess.
Yes, I think that's a good idea. We'll take a 5 minute recess and then we'll come back in with this motion.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, so we are back for recess. So we are discussing item number two on the agenda this evening, which is PCR 76-21. To the mayor or Mr. Schaefer.
You'd like me to reiterate the tax rates that are proposed in the budget, which is $18.73 per thousand of valuation for residential property, $28.10 per thousand of assessed valuation for commercial industrial property, and $37.46 per thousand of assessed valuation for tangible personal property. We also have a rate of $30 per thousand of assessed value for motor vehicles in accordance with state law.
Thank you very much. Are there any questions?
Yes, could you repeat the tangible tax that broke up at the end? $37 and 40 something.
46 cents, $37 and 46 cents.
Thank you.
Any additional questions from members of the council? Hearing none, the clerk will call the roll for favorable action on PCR 7621.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Sinapi?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
9 yes.
Thank you. The motion passes. I'm going to give the mayor the last word, but I want to congratulate again and thank all the city employees, all the residents that joined us, all the residents that contacted us, the members of the council, the legal staff, again, all the department heads that spent hours working on these budgets Mr. Schaefer and Lynn and our city clerk. I just want to thank everyone who was involved. So, and congratulations.
And our
mayor, I'm going to give And the council liaison, Joanne, yes, especially Joanne. So she has the hardest job in the city of Warwick. She has to work for 9 elected officials. So
yeah, she has to work for 9 some kind of people.
Yeah,
9, that's right. The toughest job.
So Mayor Picozzi will give you the last word, and then I'm going to ask for a motion to adjourn.
Thank you, Mr. President. You thanked everyone, so I can't do that. I want to thank the city council. I've heard your concerns, and I've heard residents' concerns about the future, and I share those concerns, but I've only been here a short time. We had to work on this year's budget, which started almost right after we got here. I work with the city council as closely as I can. I hope you know that. I always want to include you in everything. And we probably have the best relationship between mayor and council in the history of this city. And that's the only way we're going to move this city forward. I have a great staff. We have great employees. I see a great future for Warwick beginning now. I just want to thank you all for your support.
Thank you very much. And congratulations on your first budget.
Thank you.
I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
Motion
by Councilwoman Travis, second by Councilman Lattiser. Voice vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Any abstentions? All right. Everybody have a great evening and congratulations.